You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, again, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White, also known as the Zany Mystic. Tonight, my guest is Sarah Bierman. Sarah is the founder of Imagic Creation Work and is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor and healer. She was born to parents who were into the New Age materials, living in Berkeley during the late 60s and early 70s. She is a talented artist and is one of the channels for many of the Ascended Masters. She is also an ambassador to some of our space family who have been patiently waiting for us to raise our frequency so that the veils can thin and the frequency barriers can be lifted. So let's welcome her to the show now as we embark upon a new adventure together. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm doing great.
Good.
Now that we're actually started,
we have
yeah.
some ghosties. Okay, that's cool. We're popular.
Maybe we had too many of those frequencies up in there.
Yes. Well, we got that all straightened out.
All right.
So maybe you could just give us a little background about your journey, highlights of, you know, what brought you where you are and where are you today?
Well, I can answer the first part easily enough, but where I am today is a little bit less clear, but we'll give it a go. Like I said, raised in Berkeley, did a lot of raised on organic food. I was in a New Age church where we channeled an energy like Reiki called Jo-Ray. I started off young reading about reincarnation and things, dream analysis. I did a lot of emotional work in my 20s and started learning, I guess maybe in my 30s, taking channeling classes and energetic manifesting classes and things like that. And then I started taking some more healing kinds of really great modalities like matrix energetics and access and some other things that are really rather cutting edge that way. Mm-hmm. But I can't say I actually do really any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've just sort of learned to communicate with other beings, the unseen beings. And because I can do that, I can also connect right away with somebody with their greater self or their oversoul self.
Now, the oversoul, is that considered to be the higher self?
Well, yeah, I would guess that would be it. I don't think of it as higher because it's not, like, better. It's
right.
More just, like, more of you.
Okay.
The way I think of it, there were beings who came here, mostly extraterrestrial, and participated in making the Earth program, creating the planet and setting it all up. And there was some point where the Galactic Federation, or whoever you want to call it, said, okay, you guys can't mess with this planet anymore. Back off. Prime directive. And it was sort of a quarantine was placed around our planet.
Okay.
So the only way that we could get in and still play was to incarnate. So the oversoul, that part I'm calling the oversoul, split off parts of its energy to create individual souls and put them into incarnation. And here we are now.
Interesting. Well, now, speaking of now, this is a particularly unusual time in our history, is it not?
Yeah, I would say so.
Would you care to share some of your own learnings or intuitive feelings about that? I know you communicate with beings from the other side, so maybe, you know, they have more information than we do.
Or maybe we're them if we just knew how to connect with them.
Well, yes, yes.
So what I could say is a few years ago, I think I was brushing my teeth to get ready for bed or something, and I felt this being come and is like, I want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, you're familiar, but you're not Tobias, you're not Saint Germain, you're not any of the people I was used to sort of chatting with. So I said, hold on, let me get to bed and I'll talk. And he came to me and he said that he was the being known, commonly known as the Egyptian god Osiris, but that energetically a more accurate name would be Arazu. And he said he was a Syrian being and showed me all these great pictures of the planet, of ships we traveled in, of working to create civilizations and bringing technologies on other planets, including what used to be a planet in our solar system, which is now the asteroid belt.
Uh-huh.
And the oops, didn't work that time.
No, apparently not.
Yeah, and the idea was that the Earth was here for many different galactic species, or whatever you want to call them, to come and try one more time or 15th time or whatever to do this thing called ascension in body.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked a long time for it. And we've made that choice. We're there. We're not. We're in the transition. Yeah, it's kind of bumpy, but we took the split. We took the path to the right, or whatever you want to say, that leads to ascension rather than destruction and Armageddon as before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd say this is very special time.
Now, is everyone on the planet that has incarnated here at this time fully aware at the soul level, at the spirit level, that this is what they have chosen? I mean, even though it appears that most of the people on the planet are, you know, dozing and sleeping and not aware, is this something that the whole planet is going to experience as a together, or are there various timelines that break off, or what's your sense of that?
Boy, that's really a tough one, because it seems, when I look at it, that it isn't decided yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That there are potentials where the Earth sort of splits in dimensionally, and some of us go and some don't. Some beings might say, no, I still want to have some more of that intense, crazy Earth energy for a while longer before I'm ready to do this. I haven't had enough experience yet. So I don't want to encourage anyone to think like, I can't go until everybody else goes, because that's not really appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible that, just like if we say, well, okay, I set you free, you don't have to come with me if you don't want to. It's like, wait a minute. wait, you're not making me come. Wait, I might want to come after all. Sort of that. Set it free, and if it was right, it'll come back.
Yes. Yeah, very good. I like that. In any case, the Earth as a sentient being is ascending, right?
Yeah.
I mean, along with, I guess, all of the planets and the cosmos is bumping up a notch or two.
Yeah.
So that should be an interesting process for the Earth itself, I would think.
Yeah, all based on what those of us who are willing to play in the physical reality have done.
Mm-hmm.
When I... well, for instance, I used to, like I said, chat with Saint Germain and other people, and I would go, well, what about this and what about that? And at one point he said, for God's sake, stop asking so many questions. You know as much as I do. Stop pretending you're a little nothing. It's really boring to us to be constantly questioned. You know, if you want to come up and talk about potentials, come to the party, have a glass of wine, that's great. You know?
I love it.
It does seem
that our minds are on in overtime, and that the mental body has to know, and it asks questions, and you know, the poor beings on the other side to have to deal with all this must, you know, the same question asked 10,000 times just from a handful of people. And if you multiply that times the number of people on Earth, it must be just extremely trying.
Yeah.
You know.
I heard from a lot of people, my guides have gone away. I'm not getting any guidance anymore. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's actually a good sign. You know, you are becoming your own guide.
Yeah, yes, that's a good point. How do people know when they're communicating with their guides?
Well, how do you know when you're communicating? I would say one thing, kind of the guides are going away.
Uh-huh.
It's more like your soul family and the usual guides that we have had historically have been our soul family. So a group of souls that have incarnated together habitually over time. Some will be out of body and play guides, mm-hmm. and then some will be in body and then use the guides. And it switches back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the shift becomes rather than it's that changing your perspective of yourself from being just a little human to being willing to open up to who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge. I mean, when I was continuing to speak with Arazu and he showed me all these pictures, and that's the Osiris guy, he told me, he explained the myth of Osiris and Isis.
Mm.
And there's a point where he said Osiris is cut into 14 pieces or whatever, and the pieces are spread around and buried in the earth.
Mm.
And that's when he said, that was me fragmenting my energy and casting myself into incarnation.
Huh.
And I thought, well, now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At which point he said, you're one of those fragments.
Whoa.
And I just about, jumped out of my skin. Oh, no, you don't. You can't. I'm not. Oh, God, I can't start telling people that. You know?
Right.
I'm going to be put in the funny farm.
Right, right.
But the amazing thing is I've met so many people who are also fragments of all these Syrian beings known as Isis, Osiris, Toth, Mary, and Sophia. I mean, it's been like, wow, there are really big players on the planet right now.
Mm. That's the information that I've been picking up and also getting from various guests. So, that does seem to indicate that we have a great deal of help on the planet because a lot of the help has to be incarnate in order to create the changes that we are desirous of in the ascension process.
Right. And as the veil's thin, or you could say the quarantine is gradually lifted, I think it's coming off around that 2012 date completely, we have more ability to request help from the beings on the other side of the veil, the angels and so forth.
Mm.
More from the point of view of like, okay, can you close this portal when I'm doing property clearings. Is there a team that works on this type of portal? Yeah, we were hoping someone would ask. It's like they can't do it unless we ask them because we're the boss. It's an interesting sort of change in perspective.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And, of course, many of the people that I'm in contact with, and myself included, are quite interested in the exopolitics movement and the desire to reveal information about what's already happened with contact with our space family.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very intriguing to know that they are out there. And some go so far as to say that there are ships stationed all over the galaxy assisting in various ways. Is that something
true.
That you have been able to verify, or?
Well, I can just sort of check out, and it's like, well, yeah, of course. Me personally, I have had the experience while driving through stop-and-go traffic. I was looking at some fluffy clouds, and there was one of those really big venticular clouds, the ones they say have ships in them,
mm-hmm.
all separate. So I thought, oh, I wonder if there's a ship in there. And then I sort of felt into it, and I was like, whoa, there's something in there. And
right.
I kind of sent an energetic greeting, at which point it was like, huh? How can you see us,
Oh, wow. Huh.
And
cool.
I was just sort of like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I can just feel you up there, and who are you? And we sort of, just interchanged communication, not really language, but for sake of you know, radio, it's got to be words.
Yeah.
So then I noticed that they weren't in the ship anymore. I'm like, I mean, in the cloud anymore. I thought, oh, where'd they go? And then I realized they were had come right over the top of my car.
Huh.
And curiously, that cloud disappeared within a couple minutes, which was kind of interesting. But they were invisible. And they're like, well, how do we get our souls to learn how to communicate the way you can? Because they were Syrian, and I'm Syrian.
Oh.
So I said, send them to me on my website. Have them find my website. And since then, that was about 2.5 years ago, it's been amazing. The people who say, wow, I don't know how I got to your website, but I knew I needed to contact you. And then when we go out and look and feel who we are, we're like best friends from Sirius, you know?
Wow.
It's quite fun.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And the other thing that I really want people to know, because it seems really hard right now, because for most of us who are awake, we appear to have maybe less than wonderfully successful lives from the 3D realm.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who are having financial troubles. Relationships are falling apart. Their families hate them right now. Or their bodies are going through all kinds of weird illnesses, and it doesn't seem like, you know, it's sort of like, if I were doing it right, wouldn't they be getting better? But when I looked at it, that's part of the original program put into the human race. And this is like going way back in time. The Anunnaki programmed humans to be like a slave race. I think other people have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic underlying program in there is you must work to live.
Mm.
And, of course, that there's the possibility of dying is underneath that. And you must work to make money to live.
Mm.
And that in order to, there's sort of like a reward promised at the end. If you're good, if you do it right, you get some kind of reward. If you follow what it says in the Bible, you get to go to heaven. In metaphysical teachings, it could be, you know, if you meditate and transmute the anger and stay in your upper chakras and make sure you wear your Birkenstocks, whatever, that you achieve nirvana and bliss with the, what's it called, attraction, what's it called?
I'm not sure.
The attraction thing?
Oh, the law of attraction?
Law of attraction. Wow.
The secret.
Yeah,
the secret.
All of that. Wow, that was a brain burp. the law of attraction is sort of like if you think positive and you feel positive, you'll get that positive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all still sort of there's this reward. And when I looked at it, it's if you can make it work within the program,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's
so
right.
That's why so many of us have not been able to make it work.
Yes, and so much is set up for the future. In other words, everything is set up in the way this creation seems to be going for retirement. So there's certain periods of time that we're supposed to be busy, and then we're allowed our retirement to relax and enjoy our time. Well, the fact of the matter is that most people don't make it to retirement, and there's no guarantee that they'll be able to enjoy themselves at that time, and so you end up postponing your life and not living it fully. So it's quite a vicious circle.
Oh, yeah. There are quite a lot of them within the program.
I bet.
Yeah.
Has that Anunnaki program been deleted or modified, or is it being rescinded? What's going on with that?
The way I look at it is it's thinning, or it's like a wave pattern. If you imagine a still lake and a rock, a big rock dropping regularly in the center, making this big wave that's been going out.
Uh-huh.
People like us, as well as the young children who are even being diagnosed, the people who just don't fit, they're like little pebbles all around the lake dropping in and creating interference patterns. So it's breaking up the pattern.
Uh-huh.
It's getting thinner. The last article I wrote was, I said the earth is turning into Swiss cheese because I've been able to, like, create these tunnels outside of the earth program.
Wow.
And I think it would be kind of fun to take the audience out.
Yes, that would be wonderful if you could do that.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. So, one little disclaimer, if you happen to have a sharp knife in your hand or if somehow you're in a car, maybe this wouldn't be the best thing to be doing. I'll try to bring you all back to your bodies when we end. Okay. So, hopefully you can close your eyes, relax, get comfortable. So in order to be able to kind of go outside of this reality, we have to be willing to really be here first. So we're going to start by focusing on your body. Really feel it. From your head, shoulders, arms, hands, chest, back, belly, buttocks, thighs, knees, calves, and feet. And feel the whole thing. Take a breath and relax. Bring all of your energy that may be in the past, fussing over something, worrying about, not worrying, but maybe just working, old things that have happened today or before. Bring all that energy to the now moment. Any part of you that's, like I said, out in the future, often with anxiety, what about, what about, what about? For right now, just bring all that energy back to here. And just notice that in this now moment, all is well. Take a breath and feel that. Oh, what do you know? Another now moment came and all is still well. Cool. So feel your skin. Feel your muscles. Feel your heart beating and all the blood and fluid that gets constantly moved throughout your body. Feel the left side of your brain and the right side of your brain. And you might notice a difference. Feel all your organs in your torso. Even feel your bones. Feel it all. Really breathe into your belly. Come here now. Thank you. So the smallest particle the quantum physicists break matter down to is the photon, which is a particle of light. So imagine and feel your body is being made up of particles of light. Very tiny, moving very fast. And you really are 99.9% space. Kind of feel that now. Really engage your imagination and pictures and feelings, because that's the language of the right side of the brain. And that's the part of you that can travel through time and space. And that's also where the belief systems and things are stored. So you can, working directly with that, we could shift huge amounts of stuff. The left brain, unfortunately, is a little slower. A lot slower. Okay, so I want you to imagine these dials in front of you, like volume dials on a radio or something. On the left is particle. On the right is wave. So just turn down particle and turn up waves, so that you are feeling your body is being made up of waves of light. It's a real subtle shift. I think you probably have a really educated audience here, but just in case you didn't know, particles actually do change their behavior depending on how we observe them. I have a cute little short animated video on my video recordings page on my website to show you some of the tests they've done with double slits and stuff to show you how it changes behavior. So how you choose to observe the light that your body is made of is how it behaves. Nice. Okay, so I want you to draw the breath in from all around you and just imagine that your body is being surrounded by what we're calling your greater self, higher self, or oversoul. And just breathe that into the center of your body. And as you breathe out, expand it as a wave. And just keep breathing and expanding, noticing how big you really are. I'm going to use an energetic tool that I created called the Golden Mesh. It's like a screen. And you program it to gather specific energy. So to start off, what we're going to have this mesh do is just to pull anything that isn't yours, any emotions or thoughts or anything that you've picked up from the people around you, and you do that way more than you even realize, or from mass consciousness, or just the big energies that have been blowing around the planet. Anything that's not yours. And let's just add that anything that your body just may be yours, but doesn't need any more. Your system's like, eh, I'm done with that. So just keep focusing on breathing in and expanding out that wave of your true energy. I'll just go ahead and pull this mesh through. Fair amount of anxiety running through the crowd. Right in your solar plexus, so breathe into there. That's not yours. Let the golden fairies dance around and bring their light and just undo that density. There we go. Ah, thank you. Oh, boy. We got a fair amount of responsibility. Shake your shoulders. Get those lead weights off. For right now, you don't have to take care of anything. Let yourself be taken care of. How cool is that? Thank you. A little bit of head noise, but we'll just open that up. Okay. So I draw that mesh through, and then I imagine and feel just gathering the ends together, tying in a knot so I have like a bag. And the next tool I use is my Uncreate Wormhole. Wormhole in space. And what it does is anything you toss into it, it just removes any structure or patterning and takes that energy back to neutral for reuse. So take a deep breath. Let's let all that stuff go. I just sort of notice what you're feeling. Probably feel a little more stillness or space inside there. So go ahead and breathe in more of that unique energy or frequency or colors that is your soul energy, and fill yourself with that. What I'd like to do is we're going to connect everybody who is here in the current now moment, listening live, we could say, and just imagine all these people sitting in it looks like an outdoor stadium. I was raised in Berkeley. There was a Greek theater. It's like a Greek theater with a lot of nature around us. And everyone is here. And then we'd like to invite all the people who might be listening to this in the future, now moment, to participate. The bleachers are filling up. That's cool. Getting big. Anybody who maybe isn't going to listen but would like to play with the energy and do this process with us, come on in. Awesome. And the angels and the ascended masters on the outer circle, the fairies and devas, elementals, the unseen creatures. Wow, we've got a crowd. Oh, I love it. So everybody just feel the energy of all these amazing beings around here. And let's just send a wave to your right of just love and appreciation to them. and at the same time receiving it as it comes in from your left. Ah, glorious. Are you feeling that? Yummy. Okay. So for each and every one, we're going to create sort of a tunnel or a wormhole, you could say. And we're going to ask the earth to anchor one end here in the game, in the earth program, in physical reality for you. And then let's ask that your greater self or oversoul self holds the other end way out in space, because all the programming that we live under is held within an electromagnetic grid around the planet. So we got to go out beyond that. Thank you. And then, just like a homing beacon, feel the energy of your true self, your greater self, whatever you want to call it, and just kind of imagine and feel yourself sliding easily, gently out this tunnel made just for you, out into space, away, away, away from Earth, a little bit further. All right, we're there, outside, no physical body. Feel who you are out here. Do you notice how big you are? Lance, can you share what you're experiencing?
Yes, I'm out there.
It's that thing with the getting the lips to move, you know?
Yeah, I forgot how to talk. I had to send an impulse back to my body at
right.
the moment.
Yeah. And the beauty and the light and your soul family is all around you. And they're just beaming love. Out here, you're just inherently loved. And that's the way it is in the universe. All that other stuff where you feel unloved and unvalued, that's the game, the program. Mm. Not like that anywhere else. And you might also notice that there's an awful lot of celebrating going on. We're almost there. Eons of time. Yeah. And then from here, you can kind of turn and look at Earth and observe your human self and maybe some of the circumstances that you're having in your life that may be challenging. And notice how it might look a little different from out here. Or a lot different. And you can allow this wise part of yourself, all-knowing outside of the program, to, you know, give human, local you some advice or share. You know, do you feel how much this part of you loves your human part, too? That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh. Yeah. And the other thing. Out here, just notice that you know 100% that if there's anything you need, like you have needs, or desire, that it's there. There's no you have to work for it out here. You feel that?
Yes, I do.
Of course. If you want something, you just create it. It's manifest. It's so obvious that the universe is friendly and wants to give you whatever you want. And that you're a powerful creator or co-creator, as you want to call it, within the universe. So the thing that we're doing as the veil's thin, as there's more and more holes in that Swiss cheese, is having more access to this. And the goal is not to always be out here or become that, but to be able to be multidimensional. So put some of your attention back into your human self and some in your oversoul self. And you can just also take a moment, everyone. You've worked so hard for so many lifetimes to bring about this ascension, although I'm calling it freedom, if that's what it really is, in body. And we've done it. All those missions and service agreements and efforts and all the stuff we took on from other people to try to heal and all of that. You can give yourself permission to let go. It's not needed anymore. We've succeeded. Take a breath and let go of any service agreements or missions. I got a mesh going here. It's gathering up. People are throwing out this. They look like hard old chunks or gray blobby masses. It's like, no, I don't need to do that anymore. Yay. Yeah. But it's not like you stop doing anything, because it's fun to participate. Just what's fun? Yeah. So put a little more attention back into your body. This tunnel we created is going to continue to be open for each and every one of you. All you need to do is get into that relaxed place and let yourself have it. And you'll be finding more and more when you have something where you go, oh, I wonder about that, that the answer is just there. But you only get to know what you need to know when you need to know it. That's kind of the tough part. We seem to, a lot of us think that once we've got, you know, perfect access to that wise part of ourselves, it's like everything is there all the time. But it's sort of like if you look back on the memory of your life, you don't have the whole thing running all the time, but you could at any time, if you needed it, pull up a memory of high school graduation. So it's there when you need it. And if it's not there, then you don't need it at this moment. So wiggle your toes, open your eyes. How are you doing?
I feel great. I think I'll take a little nap now. You can run the rest of the show.
I did kind of warn you, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Oh, that was wonderful. I love it.
Yeah.
And I still feel connected.
Good.
You know, I still feel like I'm there and here at the same time. And it's wonderful because it's the perspective from outside of this heavy frequency is so much lighter and so much freer than all of this density that seems to bog me down on a daily basis.
Right.
You
all
know,
that
it's
stuff.
No wonder we feel so stuck all the time and so depressed and, you know, there's so much density going on here.
Yeah. It really is. And it,
yes,
all that stuff isn't you.
Yeah, right. Oh.
It's just the program.
Yes.
And it is, you know, it's frustrating right now because especially as the veils have thinned so much and we know that the potentials that are coming are so amazing and yet, and it's not quite here yet, you know? It's sort of like we know we can manifest magically, but darn it, where's that $20,000 I need? You know? One of the things I will tell people when I'm teaching magic and miracles classes is start small. Something not important. I had a spot between my shoulder blades that I just couldn't get at. So I thought, well, if I had a ball, I could, like, lean into the wall and, you know, look like a bear, you know, rub. I could get at that point. So I thought, well, I'll get one anyway, so I'll just ask the universe to send me one. And the next morning as I went in my driveway, there was a little bouncy ball there. And I tried it, and I was like, yeah, it's a little small and hard. Can you give me a different ball? And a couple days later, my neighbor comes over with a softball. She was cleaning out a shed, and she said, would your kids like to have this? I'm like, oh, a ball. Thank you. Sure.
Wow.
Well, it turned out to be a little bit too hard and too big and lumpy, you know. I was like, okay, I think a tennis ball. How about a tennis ball? I started having fun with it. I was like, yeah, thanks, more. Well, I swear the next day there's a tennis ball in my driveway.
My goodness.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's good. Well, maybe I should have two so I can get both sides. And I decided to move my couch around. I'm always like to move furniture. And there were two tennis balls under it.
Oh, good night. That's amazing.
Keep going. I'm like, okay, this is funny. I mean, thank you, but tennis balls, I've got enough. I'm walking down the street. One rolls across the street and bumps into the curb and stops in front of my feet.
Wow. Wow.
The icing
well, you better
on the cake.
Be careful because it might start hailing tennis balls.
There you go.
Then you're going to have to ask them to turn off the tap water.
I was like, okay, I think that's enough tennis balls, but I do appreciate the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the real icing is for Mother's Day, my son cleaned out my car for me, so the whole back of the trunk was totally cleaned and vacuumed and everything. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, I opened it up to put groceries in it, and there was a tennis ball in there.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
well, that's a good shock.
Yeah.
You know, to wake you up in that moment, if in case you're not, you know, if you're kind of lollygagging, and then it's like, oh, here's another reminder to be awake.
Well, yeah, and hello, you are actually creating.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Go ahead.
What limits us from being able to do that is that our mind can't wrap itself around it.
Yeah.
So, gosh, for instance, I had this skirt I really just imagined in my mind. I want this skirt. Where is it? Oh, this store. So I went to the store, and which rack? Oh, that rack. I'll go over there, and I look on this rack, and there's the perfect skirt. It's the color, the fabric, my size. Started off at $239. It's a really nice silk skirt. Down to $24.99 or $29.99.
Wow.
And I'm like, score! And when I went to buy it, the cashier said, where did you get this? I don't remember ever seeing this before. And it just hit me, oh, man, I created that and put that there.
Wow. Yep.
Now, I couldn't quite just put it in my closet yet. You know, my mind could wrap around the idea that I could find it on sale.
Right.
So that's why I suggest start with little things that are playful.
I see.
And then your mind sort of starts to go, oh, wait a minute, that's possible. Because the way your logical mind works is it compares what you know, what it's seen to what it has experienced before.
Yes.
And if there's no way to match it, it just can't perceive it.
So these little steps are leading towards direct manifestation in ways that maybe the mind in the present moment can't fathom.
Yeah. Remember,
but that is coming, isn't it?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Whether our minds can fathom it or not, that's going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
One of the things
is that once we go out there and we feel that it's so natural, of course that's the way it is, for even a moment, it plants that seed.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the meditation that we just did, the part that got really vivid for me was when the Ascended Masters and the Angels and the Divas and Fairies joined us. And I've often been curious because I live in the country, some people have said that, you know, the Divas and Fairies have retreated from most of the inhabited areas because of the energy that we emit. How do we get in touch with those elementals that are so mystical and magical?
Well, some of the energies that we emit that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Seriousness. Humans are so serious. And are so unwilling to be just silly.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one of the, like an article, series of articles I've written were, is on the original meanings and energetics of a lot of words that we use. And one of them is weird. Nobody wants to be weird. Well, the original meaning of weird was like fairies, magical, the weirding way.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, who is it, somebody said that, you know, God's the biggest weirdo there is. Be willing to be weird. And if someone says you're really weird, you know that? Oh, thank you. Oh, that's the way I raised my daughter. So she came home from school. She's 10, and she's one of those cool crystal kids. She came home and said, Mama, a bunch of girls after school told me I was really weird. And I said, yeah? She goes, yeah, isn't that cool?
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
You have two indigos and a crystal child. What do you notice are the differences between them?
Okay. I got, I suppose you could say, kind of lucky. In the indigos, there are I think, two basic kinds, the system busters and the system builders.
Okay.
And the busters are usually the ones that have ADHD and all that stuff. They're just out there making it fall apart. And both of mine are builders. They want to, they see the stuff. They're not going to mess with it. My oldest one will, you know, write letters to the teacher saying, letting them know that that particular assignment was stupid because this is a physics class and not a photography class, and if we're going to be doing physics, we should be doing blah, 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 and this is being judged totally on my photographic ability. I was like, okie dokie, look out, you know, which made total sense.
Yeah.
But so both of mine are sort of like system builders, and they're a little easier to raise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The indigos are pretty tough.
Yeah.
The crystals aren't so tough.
Yeah.
They're, what I can say about my daughter is she's like the most loving person ever. Just loves everyone immediately.
Wow.
And the worst thing that could possibly happen to her would be if she thought she had actually hurt somebody else in any way.
Wow. That's beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yeah, she's also pretty stinking magical. She
really
started.
Can you
yeah.
Say some of that.
Yeah, she was about 2.5 or 3, and she was off in, I guess, a separate part of the house, way down a hall, playing dolls, watching cartoons or something, while a friend of mine was working on my back, and I had all this pain in my low back. And she goes, you know, it's kind of like there's bullets in here energetically, but I'm just going to pull them out. Let's see how that works. And I'm like, oh, that feels better. And then we hear a little footsteps down the hallway. She goes, Mommy, there are a bunch of bombs floating around the house, but don't worry, I got rid of them. And then back down to dolls and cartoons. And I asked my friend, what did you do with those bullets after you pulled them out of my bath? She goes, I just tossed them outside the house.
Wow. Gee.
So, you know, and just a little kid.
Wow.
And more recently, she went with me to where I took a friend and her to an introductory evening of the Matrix energetic stuff. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's Richard Bartlett.
No, I'm not.
Oh, boy. He's a naturopathic doctor, a chiropractor, smarter than anybody on the planet, I think. But
okay.
He's also a magician.
Wow.
And he just does these things where people's bones line up because he goes, now they're aligned, you know. He's just really amazing. But
when
he does things with people, sometimes they just like go, whoa, and like almost pass out. So they always have catchers because he changes the energy so much.
Well,
while we were at this evening presentation, my daughter thought that was kind of fun. So she started making waves or force fields and just throwing them at me and making me, like, fall over and stuff.
Wow.
The audience was laughing hysterically because she thought it was so much fun just she could, you know, I'd tip over. Oh, look what I can do to Mommy.
Oh, my goodness, that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that, you know, if she wanted to, I mean, I've always thought that we should be able to levitate and walk through walls and fly.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that that all comes back to us, that, you know, we're not just crazy and imagining things.
I think that that's absolutely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, for right now, while we're in the transition,
mm-hmm.
if I'm on the top of a 10-story building, I'm still going to take the elevator.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Know? You.
I will, too. I'm with you on that one. We'll
and that's kind of the frustrating part, is we know it's there, but we can't quite do it yet.
Yes. It seems like we're so close, and we've been so close for so long, and then it's just like there's always this one last little chug-a-lug-a-lug, and sometimes it feels like the little train who can't do it, and yet we know we do it. How do we keep on going through this muddle when it just seems to be so oppressive sometimes?
Yeah. Part of what that muddle is, I think, is we actually set it up to have specific entities or angels to work with us, so that if we started to get hooked back into the program, they come and mess us up.
Yes, of course that would make sense.
Yeah, that's the ones that I know are Lucifer and Set, who is, of course, Osiris's old nemesis, playing the shadow role. So some of that is that, but what I found is the best way to get through the tough stuff is to connect with like-minded, like-hearted, like-whatever people.
Mm-hmm.
The draw to community is really big right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people, I work with a lot of people all over the world, who are living in, you know, Texas or Canada or Spain or whatever, and they're surrounded by totally asleep people.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they stay awake? How do they, you know, how do they, there's no one around them. There's no center to go to. They don't have, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's always something here.
Right, right.
It's not true everywhere else.
That's
so
true.
The internet with, like, your radio show is a perfect example where people can connect on the internet and go, oh, yes, that's reminding me of who I really am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, geez, that seems like a perfect moment to segue into how people can get a hold of you and find out more and get your sign up for your newsletter and so on, because your writing is quite delightful, and I posted some of your pieces to my Yahoo group, Awakening Cosmic Consciousness. So, would you please let everybody know in the audience how they can reach you and what your website is?
Okay. And you'll find my writing tends to be sometimes a little bit silly.
Okay.
Definitely, I usually don't get all serious. But at any rate, my website is Limitless One, which is Limitless and then dash 1one.com. And let's see, to sign up for my newsletter is the top left of the home page.
Okay.
And that process of the golden mesh that we did, not the rest with the going out, but if you want to clear your own energy, I have about a 10 or 11 minute recorded version of that. And you can find a link to that in the right-hand column down near the bottom on the home page. So you can go and make use of that. I also have, because of the desire to create the community, I have been doing monthly free teleseminars.
Ah.
And on my recorded seminars page, You can find those and several other low-cost ones like the Miracles and Magic Teleseminar and stuff like that. So you're all invited to go and play with all these cool people that collect. You know, get some community, people who get you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, you have been absolutely delightful. I loved going out there in the multiverse with you, and I hope everybody in the that's listening did too. And thank you for being with us tonight and creating such a magical experience.
It was my pleasure. Always, always fun. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.
Good night.